This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
All right, let's list some of these names. Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe. Stop me when you see the theme. John Quincy Adams, John Tyler.
So that's what we're doing?
Zachary Taylor. Who can forget the great Millard Fillmore? Andrew Johnson.
So you walk in here.
James A. Garfield.
6 minutes before the show. Yeah. RJ, you see what he does?
What did I do?
6 minutes. 6 minutes before the show, walks in.
Right,
looks great.
And you were
great.
Fast asleep.
I was taking my nap and logs himself in and immediately Googles presidents' names.
Benjamin Harrison.
I'm watching him read it off the computer.
William McKinley. William Howard Taft, who was a portly fella. These are shapely fella. These are all Warren G. Harding. That's why you drive on the Harding Expressway on Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah. Calvin Coolidge. Harry S. Truman.
All right, we get it.
John F. Kennedy. What's the theme?
Enough.
What's the theme?
Your New York Rangers took care of business last night.
I'm the president of everybody.
That's right. And the Rangers won the President's Trophy, which means the most points in all the National Hockey League for the regular season.
That's right.
It's a hell of a, for the fourth time in franchise history, Rick.
It's a hell of a season. And a nice way to go into the playoffs. Right?
Amazing way to go into the playoffs.
I mean, you are, I'm so nervous. I just want to take care of business.
I was honest. I was nervous. I was anxious. But
they get it.
Go out there, take care of business, beat up on Ottawa, which they should do, but they should have beaten up on Philadelphia the other day and didn't do that. They struggled a couple games ago, but all of a sudden, turn it on, win on Saturday, win on Monday, and now they rest.
Shesterkin with the shutout.
Fourth one of the season.
Panarin with his 49.
And away we go. He was, oh man.
What a season he's had.
Is he, I don't think he's going to win the MVP.
No.
But will he be a final three of the MVP?
Ooh. Final three for the MVP?
Yeah. Isn't that how they break it down to the final three of every category?
Well, you're going to have McKinnon.
Okay.
And you're going to have McDavid. He got to 100 assists.
Which is wild.
And then you're probably going to have Kucherov.
So you do not believe that he's going to be?
Yeah, I don't think he will be.
Which is unbelievable.
And you got Austin Matthews.
Who had how many goals? Well, he's not done yet, right? Is he still going? You know what's weird, too? And I didn't even realize this till last night. The NHL, congratulations to you and your Islanders who beat the Devils.
I figured
out
that they're fun first before.
Which I understand. Is that the regular season goes till Thursday.
You guys finished up early.
So the Rangers, the earliest they'll play, and I guess this is what everyone expects, is they're going to play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, and there's no travel involved.
Well, because the Knicks will be home and they play Saturday.
Right. So there's no travel involved. So they're going to get to rest, relax, get fresh, get healthy. The hope that maybe Hedl comes back. I mean, this is the best they're going to feel for the next 2 months. So away we go.
Yeah, can you imagine that, though? You battle through 82 games. And then this will be the best you feel until the playoffs is over. And then the injury report will come out. Well, this guy was playing with a broken foot. This guy dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's going to need hernia surgery.
I remember when what year was it when they made the conference
with
finals?
McDonough?
Yeah, McDonough. They're like, yeah, he had a broken foot for weeks now.
What's that guy doing on the bench? Oh, he's taking out his own tooth so he can get back out there. Auston Matthews, 69 goals, 107 points.
Is he done or they have more?
Oh, they got one more.
So he could get to 70.
Get to 70.
Wow, which is unbelievable.
Biggest, most noticeable difference about Artemi Panarin this season was? Besides during the offseason when he shaved his head.
Right. His hair grew back nicely.
Nicely.
Biggest difference, I don't think I know his physicality.
No. Raymond, biggest difference between Panarin this season.
I feel like,
Ray,
in some way, congratulations to you, by the way, Raymond. Lyndon B. Johnson.
What?
I don't get it.
What is the biggest difference between
Panarin? No. What Dave was saying.
Because he's just naming trophies. He's naming presidents.
How come I can barely hear him?
His microphone's weird sometimes.
Can you hear me now? Is that better?
It's not great. I mean, you're very ill-prepared.
So how about now? If you could answer the question, I would have had to go to him.
I don't know. Nobody knows. You asked the most vague question ever. What's the big difference?
I bet RJ would know.
Okay, let's see. Unless you
biggest
fed it to him before the show.
Biggest difference between Panarin this season as opposed to what you saw last season?
No, RJ, I'm assuming it's consistency on the line. Just having guys to...
How are you annoyed at us if none
of us
know? How
many shots did Panarin have this season?
How many what?
How many shots?
Over 300.
Thank you.
There you go.
Biggest difference.
Okay.
What do you have, 18 yesterday?
Hence the 49 goals.
Hence,
so volume.
Yeah, well,
just
we know
volume.
He can play, make. It's like, hey, we need you to score, too. Can you
well,
shoot
Well, he
more?
Did it, 49.
And he did.
And you know what?
Over
maybe the biggest goal of the season to tie the game at 2. Up to this point.
Islanders game?
That was a huge, huge, huge goal. So here we are.
I don't know how you can be annoyed by that.
That we didn't know that?
Yeah.
No. I think it's shocking that he would think we would know that. Like, that was not a layup. That was like, all right, there's 8/10 of a second. You're going to inbound it under your own basket, heave it all the way down the court, and try to make it.
Would have been here a while before we got to.
We would have been
more shots.
We would have been doing Rule 76.
He's cut over 300 shots. Okay, let's. I haven't checked this out. I just know by far he has the most shots on his team. Let's see where he ranks as far as shots on net this season. Nathan MacKinnon's got over 400 shots.
That's unbelievable.
Panarin 8th in the NHL in shots.
A lot of shots. Last Ranger to have over 300 shots is.
Yager.
Now the tides have turned.
Yager.
No. Raymond, did you hear this at the Garden last night? They mentioned it on the broadcast.
Well, I don't have the TV broadcast,
so I
wouldn't tell
you.
Okay,
but I thought maybe you guys cross-promote a little bit.
Who is it?
Rick Nash.
Oh, I did hear that.
Last Ranger to have over 300 shots in a season.
And this is the most points since... Yager in 06.
Since Yager, right.
Yeah, he was a problem. What? Dude, in 06.
And that wasn't even prime Yager, right?
No.
Like, he was a little past his prime.
Well, the Penguins Yager was
right.
Filthy, but no. Like, his size, you couldn't take the puck off him. Could not take the puck off him.
No. Unbelievable. So, the number one seed. So, now, the Rangers will not face the Islanders. Carolina and the Islanders locked in, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Could face the Islanders in the second round.
Which would be much better than facing them in the first round. Rangers will either play Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Washington controls their own fate.
Or Washington.
Washington wins. It's
so
Washington.
So Washington plays... I thought Detroit did. No?
No, Washington controls their own fate.
Okay. So, and Washington plays on the road.
Washington plays in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Washington plays
Detroit
in Philly.
Plays
Detroit
in
plays in Montreal. Yeah.
Where does Washington play?
Philly.
And Philly's still alive.
Yeah, Philly needs a lot of help.
Well, okay, but Philly is still technically alive.
They are on life support.
So, if Washington wins, Rangers play Washington.
Correct.
Washington loses, Detroit wins. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe this is right. Rangers play Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Those two lose, Pittsburgh wins. Rangers play Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Those three lose, which would mean the Flyers do win. Rangers play the Flyers. Is that accurate?
I believe that's accurate.
Okay, how about that? I'm ready to go.
That was pretty nice. That was a
nice
breakdown.
Although, what if Flyers Caps goes to OT? What about that?
I didn't figure that out.
Let's figure that out.
Well, I think it depends on who wins.
Well,
Flyers Caps goes to OT and the Caps lose in OT, they only have 90 points. The Red Wings win, they'll have 91 points.
No, but if the Red Wings lose, if they all lose, Flyers win in overtime.
No, if the Flyers win in overtime, the max points they get is 89.
Oh, okay.
Washington gets a point going into overtime, they'll have 90.
All right, then there you go, right?
So that would be Washington.
Yeah.
Right. So then there you go. So your question wasn't really great.
Well, wait. It's Washington's not the only team at 89.
If everyone loses, only one, Ray, if Detroit but loses. Washington loses in overtime was the question.
If the Red Wings win and Washington loses in overtime, then the Red Wings will be in the playoffs because they'll have 91 and the Capitals have 90.
How about if Washington loses and Detroit loses in overtime?
Then they both have the same amount of points?
I don't have the standings in front of me.
Detroit needs a win and a Caps loss of any fashion.
Right. The Capitals have more regular...
Yeah, Washington has a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So this is a much better scenario than having Tampa Bay involved.
Correct.
You don't want Tampa involved.
No, I know.
No. This is exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. So this played out exactly as you get now almost a full week off. There's no travel. Hedl might be back. You have home ice throughout. You're going to get a team that you absolutely should beat in round one. It could not be scripted better for the Rangers right now.
This is how you wanted it to play out. Yep. On top of that, the Islanders are playing really good hockey right now. So, I mean, I don't think they'll beat Carolina, but at least take a piece of Carolina.
Well, Islanders are physical. Soften them up a little bit. Are tough.
The Islanders game translates better for the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
And, I mean...
Well, I think that's the concern, too, with the Rangers. The Rangers game doesn't necessarily translate for the postseason. It's not so wide open. Like, the Rangers want to go. Let's go.
Well, no, but I think there's versatility in their game now.
I agree with that.
I think last year with lack of coaching, I think they had a hard time, but I think Laviolette, I mean, there's a reason why they have 114 points.
So will the Rangers be out-coached in any series?
Just think about that for a second, though. They have a hard time scoring 5-on-5,
right.
And yet they have 55 wins and 114 points.
It's pretty remarkable. Is he that good that they will not be? So you go up against Brind'Amour, not going to be out-coached. You go up against Wah, not going to be out-coached. You go up against Cooper, the Rangers will, like... There could be the equal on the other side, but they will not be out-coached.
They have a legitimate coach.
Great.
Yeah. That's won a Stanley Cup and been to a couple of Stanley Cup finals.
That's right. So now you're 1-16, and now we go. And there's nothing better, and you've said it a million times, than the NHL postseason.
This is the best.
The best.
The best.
The best. And this could carry us until, I mean, hopefully June.
I hope so. Hopefully it's the Islanders, not the... Listen, in a perfect world,
yeah.
Just because I think the Rangers are better than the Islanders... Somehow, Islanders get past Carolina. You take care of your business against Washington, and we get a round
two.
That's
what we want.
That would be
fire. Oh. That would be fire. Oh.
Would that be... That might be bad for the show.
It would be awful for the show. Islanders-Rangers round two would maybe be the end of the show. It would be absolutely dreadful. Now, I've heard this phrase used many times. RJ's putting his eyes in right now. But RJ, it's early, so I'm not going to scream the double RJ at you. But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Islanders, Rangers, round two. Who are you rooting for?
I don't have an answer for you yet.
What do you mean?
It'll probably depend on over the next week to 10 days, probably which of you were most tolerable. Like if Dave, you come in here like you did this morning, just yelling about all things, yelling at me about the internet. That wouldn't be a good sign.
You're so full of crap. I did not yell at you about
you raised your voice.
Yeah. Oh my! You know
it
what?
Was RJ that was slowing down your internet.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't a great work environment. But now I see why. Because you needed your list of presidents.
That's right. Andrew Johnson.
He knows all of them anyway. I don't know why you pulled out the list.
Yeah, you don't need a list.
Just to have them in front of me.
You get presidential questions that you answer.
Yeah, but you know what? There's comfort in just having the list in front of you.
Be confident.
Martin Van Buren.
Surprised we didn't get a Millard Fillmore out of you.
You know what? I mean, maybe you will. I'm not done.
You've gone through almost all of them.
No.
I mean, why stop now?
Well, I don't think I will stop now. These are nice.
Why did they stop talking?
Yeah, no, these people are nice, though. This is a nice presidential list. So you're uncertain who you would root for?
Yeah, it's up in the air.
Weasley.
A little bit.
Well, I mean, just pick a side.
Well, I don't like or dislike either of them, really. I want people to be happy. I want you guys to be happy, but it's not possible in this situation.
Rangers fans are more annoying than Islander fans, though.
Why would you say
to
that? General.
To you.
No,
to you.
Why would you say that?
Because they are.
I don't think so.
Well, because you're one of them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't find Rangers fans annoying. Find the other two annoying. Big time.
No, Islanders fans are terribly annoying.
Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a definition of little brother syndrome. Oh, the Rangers, we want to be the Rangers.
No one wants to be the Rangers.
All these fans.
We have one of the greatest teams in the history of professional sports.
Yeah, not even in your lifetime.
No, we had a bit of a gap in between those teams and where we are now.
Yeah, I would say so.
Listen, we made a coaching change. It worked. We're finishing off with season, our season on a high note.
Listen, I said nothing negative about the Islanders. Not a word. You're the one that's going after the Rangers. I asked RJ a simple question, and he refuses to take a side. That's fine. That's fine. You know, today's CMT. So at 7:45, we have a little CMT. The Knicks. Knicks fans, I'm so disappointed. Oh, I don't want Philadelphia.
No one's saying I don't want Philadelphia.
Yes, yes, they are.
No.
Raymond, have you not heard a ton of, I don't want Philadelphia. I don't want any part of them.
Yeah, I've told you how I feel about this.
Yeah. I love Raymond's attitude. I want to walk up and give him a big kiss right on the mouth. That's
please.
How I feel.
That's okay.
No, because he's
that's okay.
Well, I know I don't have to, but
if
I'd like
had
to.
If you had the CMT in honor of CMT Tuesdays, the three matchups, yeah. Where would you put the Sixers?
I would put the Sixers at Cuddle.
Okay. Would you marry?
To play. Indiana.
All right, but that's the point.
Okay. All right, but this is what you got.
I understand this is what you got.
All right, so
that's
stop complaining.
Fine. I'm not complaining about it.
I'm not saying you are. I heard a ton of, oh, God, winning that game was just catastrophic. You know what? You're home.
Hold on, just think about this for a second. The things that New York Knicks fans criticized Tom Thibodeau about. He plays his guys too many minutes, and now he's won too many games. Why did you win that last game?
This is why we can't have nice things.
Right.
This is why.
It's like, how dare you go out and win?
But understand, for Raymond, Dave, everyone else, that if this doesn't go our way, the phone calls that we will take.
Fine. You know what? I'm here for it. I'm not going to duck them. If the Knicks lose,
all the good that this team has done, all the good that Tibbs has done this season, dealing with all the injuries and winning 50 games, will be completely gone.
Okay, let's go back to the days of pre-Tibbs.
No,
why don't we do that?
Let's find Marbury back.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying that's how I'll feel.
18 wins a year. Those were great times. Those were great times.
The Mike D'Antoni era.
This team can't win a championship with Tibbs. Those are the calls we'll take. Guaranteed.
All right. Well, you know what? I welcome that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
47 years ago. You know how long that is? 47 years?
Yeah.
I believe a score is 20 years.
20
I believe.
Years. So that's 87 years.
87 years ago.
I can do that.
John Sterling is retired.
He is.
Right, immediately.
Effective immediately.
Immediate. So,
which is interesting because, I mean, I was listening to Kay talk about it.
Right.
And Kay said he had spoken to John, and it was going to be John's news to tell, and that was it. And then when I turned the Kay show back on after baseball,
right,
it was the news already broke. He was retiring.
Well,
effective immediately.
I saw on Twitter, I guess Andrew Marchand from The Athletic, he's really good, he said, Friday news conference, John Sterling. And then it went like wildfire. Is like, well, he's going to be retiring Friday. And then it was like, he's going to be retiring right now. Yeah. He's called his last game. So, I mean, that's kind of...
Which kind of stinks.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know, even as, like, if you're a player or doing something for as long as
just
John
a chance
done,
to say goodbye.
Well, not even, say goodbye, say thank you, but also to actually, to take in the moment. right? Like, you don't, very rarely do you take the time to kind of appreciate all the things that you do when you're doing your job. Like the simple things, like the right. stuff you end up missing when you're gone, and to not have that, you know, that opportunity. But, you know, from all the things I read and
been
heard.
Forever. He's Yankees voice since 1989.
89. He'll be 86. He's doing it for a long, long time.
That's a and long
it's
just, time.
It's he loves doing it, but just all the other stuff is not interesting. He's not interested in doing it anymore.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, listen, when you become, and I've seen this with my parents, and you know, I guess you haven't yet, but you will at some point. It's like things become harder. Like just everything. I mean, you've seen it with your grandma, right? Like things become harder. Life becomes harder. Getting in the car and driving yourself to wherever, and then you know you gotta get dressed in the morning. You gotta get up. You gotta get showered. You gotta get out. You gotta work. You gotta study the rosters. You gotta look at stats. You gotta get to the ballpark. I mean, these are long days. These are not. I mean, I know the game is faster now, but these are not 2.5 hour days. You're talking about 8, 10, 12 hour days, and then travel when you go on the road. There's a lot to it.
Well, I guess he was also offered the opportunity to just do home games.
Correct.
But he said, you know, having spent, you know, the offseason enjoying his time away from baseball, recognized how much he actually enjoyed that. And it's, I mean, I would equate to the same thing as most, a lot of athletes you hear at the end when they decide to, they can still play. And for all, you know, all the people that listen to John this season, he can still call games.
There are times when you listen to him call a game that you would have no idea he's 85
no
years
idea.
Old.
That it's just, it's, yeah, I love playing the game, but I don't necessarily love all the work that leads up to the game. Right? That's what a lot of guys that
sure.
can still play say. It's just if you could, you know, if I could just show up on Sundays and play football, then I would do it. But that's not the reality. There's a whole week, you know, there's a whole offseason, there's a whole week I got to spend. And, you know, to do it for 35 years, almost 86 years old.
Right.
I'm sure there were plenty of times where he's like, you know, should this be it? And then you recognize how lucky you are and how much you love your job. And it's like, no.
What must have happened is I have to imagine he wanted to do the year or at least a good portion of the year. And then this was very hard on him because there's no way you would retire 15 games into the season.
That I don't know. Sometimes I think he probably thought about it during the offseason. Thought, you know, I could get through this year, and then recognized I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Dude, like doing the job that we do, watching these games every single night. There are times when we have vacations for a week that just being able to watch sports just to watch sports as opposed to knowing you have to talk about it the next day is a relief.
Yeah, and you're not 85.
Right. So he's been doing this 35 years. He's almost 86 years old driving. You know, it's a lot that goes
into
it.
Lot.
At what point do you say, as much as I love this job, I also should enjoy.
Well, he got there.
And
he got
for,
to that
it was
line of demarcation where it's like, because you know he loves it and you hear it in his voice. And he he's 85 and he's still doing it. I'm sure he doesn't need to do it. That he got to the point where he was like, it's time. And it's time and good for him. I mean, very talented. I don't know, some people were turned off by some of his, I don't want to say antics, but you know, like corny-ish calls.
I liked it.
But, well, like it or not, I mean, you can't deny that he was an absolute icon.
No, you can't deny that. And it's going to be different. That you know, it's going to be different for Yankees fans when you listen and he's not on the call.
Well, think about how
there's
weird
something
it is.
Comforting.
Like he's been. So if you're 35, 40 years old, right? He's been doing it for 35 years, right? 89 to 24, so 35 years. If you're 45 years old, 43 years old, he's really the only voice of the Yankees on radio you've ever heard in your life.
Some of your greatest sports moments are his
and
voice.
And think about the moments that he's had. I mean, the Yankees win in what did they win? 5 World Series under they were right there in the 4 in the late 90s and then 2009. I mean, that's an unbelievable. You saw Jeter and Bernie and O'Neill. I mean, you know,
that's probably what
Clemens
caught a lot of people.
And,
that's probably what caught a lot of people off guard a little bit with this announcement. How abrupt it was when you have a Yankees team that's this good with these kind of expectations. Do you find a way to get through it?
But
I think when you know, you know.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like he probably woke up on. When was his last game on Sunday? Or maybe he didn't. Did he not even call Sunday? Was he not on the road trip? I don't even know.
No, he wasn't on the road trip.
So his last game.
His last game was April 7th.
And then he was just. I'm sure he woke up. He's like, I just can't. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too much. It's too much for me. So, but you know,
I didn't even tell anybody when I read that was. No, I'm not gonna same kind of run that John Sterling did. But just like you wake up, and you know, you know. I just let. I just knew one day I can't do this anymore, and I just was it.
That was it?
That was it.
Raymond, I know you didn't listen because you're glued to your radio broadcast. But RJ, did you watch the Islanders-Rangers on ABC on Saturday by chance?
I had it on for a bit, yeah.
Did you hear when they made mention of our dear friend right here, Rick DiPietro? Bob Wischusen did?
I caught a little bit of that, yeah.
What do you mean a little bit of it? It didn't go on for 15 minutes. He just mentioned it in passing.
Well, I heard that. I saw screenshots of Ray. Yeah. It was a big day for the show.
It was a big day for the show. I'm a little surprised and maybe offended I wasn't mentioned or you weren't mentioned on the broadcast. But...
So, well, me, I understand. I'd actually be alarmed if I were. I mean, Bob's a great man. I'd be alarmed if I were mentioned.
It would have been a great opportunity because I think he was talking about who was goalie on Saturday for that? Sorokin and something with...
No.
Varlamov?
Varlamov's been playing.
He was the goalie on Saturday?
Varlamov's kind of taking the job.
Against the Rangers, it was Ilya.
It was Sorokin.
It was Sorokin against the Rangers?
Yeah. The second time. The first time.
I'm talking about Saturday. You said jump me.
No, I thought I was confusing the game.
So I don't remember what they were talking about. Wins on the season or road wins or I don't know what it was. And they're like, yeah, this passes the mark of one Rick DiPietro, is what he said.
Great.
And what?
It was nice. The mark.
Now, I found it upsetting that he didn't then go in, because Bob knows us and knows the show, that he didn't give us a little plug. Rick DiPietro has now turned his hockey career into, you know, constant highlights in the morning with Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN. That might have been nice.
It would have been nice.
It would have been great.
It would have been great.
But not a mention, though. Not a mention of your second act.
Well, maybe he's turned off. Maybe he's turned off of the station. Last time he was on the station, he was on the K show, and then after his appearance, K destroyed him.
Why? Well, that's not us.
I'm just saying. Maybe that has, you know, left a bad taste in his mouth.
Why would he destroy him?
He doesn't want to mention the station.
Why?
Said it was he had a terrible... Terrible spot.
Really?
That's what he said.
That's not nice.
No. Don wasn't happy.
Well, so maybe that's what it is, though.
Don wasn't happy with the spot, or Don wasn't happy that Michael
attacked? That Michael aired him out like that.
That's not nice.
No.
Well, so if he's bringing up a stat where Rick has passed, and I think it may have been road wins. I think you're right. It's not wins altogether. But if Rick is getting passed, and then he doesn't bring you up, maybe that's the intent. To send a message.
What do you mean?
Doesn't care for us, maybe.
Oh, is it all of us.
No, Bob likes me.
Right. Maybe.
So if the grenades are coming in, you're like, I'm out. Bob likes me.
No. I know he likes me. I don't know. I've never asked him. Do you like Dave? I can't imagine he wouldn't like Dave.
I like Bob. I hope he likes me. We've had pleasant exchanges in the past. I mean, we've texted. We've
But let's
DM'd.
Be honest. It hasn't always gone well when other people have brought up our show on national airwaves.
Rick DiPietro and company.
I mean, we don't want another one of those.
No, that was not good. But how about when Mel brought it up on the national broadcast of the NFL draft?
Multiple times.
Yeah. And the whipped cream that we send them.
Well, Mel definitely likes us.
So what we have deducted from this whole thing is Bob doesn't like me.
No. I think Bob, I'm just saying.
I know he likes me.
Right? I know he likes me. I believe he likes you.
Okay.
I think what happened was he came on the station and was turned off. And that's why it didn't lead to, hey, passes Rick DiPietro for this. By the way, Rick does a morning show on ESPN with Dave Rothenberg. He's like, no, we're not going to plug them because... Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so turned off by Michael K.
Right.
So Michael K. ruined it for everybody.
For us.
For everybody.
Probably.
Oh, that's not good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Kendrick Perkins, he's very good. You see, he tweeted yesterday. He's like, I think I'm going to make my way down to the Garden for some Knicks postseason basketball. As well he should.
Hey, he should. Well, he's been one of the few that have been on the Knicks the entire time. So give him credit.
That's a good basketball team. So he was asked yesterday on the K show, should the Knicks have wanted the 3 seed?
No, they're fine. This Knicks team is not ducking any smoke. And at some point, if you're trying to get to the promised land or trying to get deep into the playoffs, you're going to have to play top-level competition. Iron sharpens iron. That's what my grandpa used to always tell me. When I look at the Philadelphia 76ers, I mean, Joel Embiid is not 100%. He has 0 dunks since returning from injury. A lot of his points, about 30% of them, are coming from the mid-range of jump shots. He's playing below the basket. You know, Tyrese Maxey, obviously he's an all-NBA player this year. But, you know, again, it's going to switch up for him as well. He's going to have to make adjustments in his game because, you know, the playoffs, the playbook get a little thicker. When I look at the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler looks exhausted. I don't know if he's just trying to psych everybody out, but I don't see the same energy in the Miami Heat. And I don't think the Knicks care. It's all about the New York Knicks and the way that they're playing basketball right now.
Here's what I would say, and I really believe this, if the Knicks play their A game, I'm fearful of nobody out there. Nobody.
Here's the interesting part, is we have Perk saying what he just said.
Right.
Stephen A.
He's kind of just a cheerleader. I don't think
sometimes
he's really
I feel like when you mention Knicks with Stephen A., it's less about him trying to break it down and more about trying to prove to everyone that he's a huge Knicks fan.
Right.
Because of, I mean, listen, we had the Quentin Grimes thing, whatever. And then you got Legs, Tim Legler, who's really good at what he does. And they ask a question, like, you know, he's on Get Up Today, and they ask the question, who's the biggest threat to the Celtics? And his answer is the Sixers. So, I mean, listen, do I think the Knicks at their best, especially because they have home court in the series, can beat the Sixers? I do. But as far as, you know, tough first-round matchups?
It's going to be a tough first-round matchup. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Now, Kendrick Perkins with this whole analysis that he thinks that Miami looks beleaguered and tired. You know, you say that until you see them in the postseason. And it's not like you're going to watch them 11 games into the postseason and now you face them. This is going to be right off the jump. So, I don't know, man. To me, Miami is terrifying. If Embiid is not 100% healthy, I would say give me Philadelphia. That's the team I think you have better success against.
Right, but when he is... No, but when he is, now he may not be 100% healthy, but when he's on the floor, this team very rarely loses. Right? I mean, 31-8, and I know that was before the knee surgery, but since he's been back, and it hadn't been great teams, but they haven't lost. Joel Embiid has already won an MVP, was on pace to win his second MVP before he got hurt. Now you add to the mix, you got Tyrese Maxey, who I think... No, I think OG can slow down. That's the beauty of having someone like OG.
I even think more than I think he can. I think he will.
But I also think now you're in a spot where this is not the regular season. This is not like, hey, we played 82 games. Everything that we just saw is naturally going to carry over to the postseason. We see it in every sport. We see it in baseball. Aaron Judge's great season doesn't carry over to the postseason.
When the other team ratchets up their level of intensity or caring or whatever it is, can the Knicks be as good?
Right, like you're not seeing all the things that you'll see in the postseason. Panarin, same thing. You saw it last year with the Knicks. IQ had an unbelievable regular season. You put him in the postseason, wasn't very good. It changes things for people. And now you're asking a team that has a guy who played as well as anyone in the NBA in the Eastern Conference this season in Jalen Brunson. Am I worried about him? No, especially because I saw what Jalen Brunson did in the playoffs last season.
Right.
I'm not worried about him.
And with Dallas, he was good in the postseason.
Right. I'm not worried about him. It's the others that worry me.
Who actually worries you?
Well, you're asking guys on a traditionally really good team. Would you ask guys like Dante DiVincenzo to star in roles on a team that you feel like is going to get all the way to the conference finals?
No.
No, but they're going to be asked to be stars on this team.
Maybe not every night, but yes, Dante is at some point going to be asked to give you big-time performances.
Right, so regular season, great. We saw it in the regular season. Now it's the postseason. And that doesn't naturally just carry over to the postseason.
Listen,
maybe
until you see it, you're not going to be sold. But Dante is a terrific shooter, and I would think that his shooting would continue to be good in the postseason. He shot 40% from three.
Okay, I hope you're right.
I know you did.
I hope that's the case. OG's defense
So you're anxious? I'm anxious.
I don't think OJ's, I keep saying OJ because I got the stat that I wanted to share with you. OG's defense isn't going anywhere. But this isn't like you have a bunch of really proven commodities. Like Julius Randle is 25-10-5. In the regular season, you put him in the postseason, he's a different player. And that's a guy who's all NBA.
Right.
So outside of Jalen Brunson, it's not like you're flush with all of these guys.
No, Hartenstein has never been on the stage before. Mitchell Robinson performed well last year against Cleveland. I think he'll step up. I think he'll be good. I'm not worried about OG. You want to say DiVincenzo and McBride and Bogdanovich are those X factors and Precious? And yeah, okay.
You're going to need scoring.
Yeah.
I know Jalen Brunson is going to get
Brunson's going to give you 30-plus points
a
game.
It's the other guys that make me a little bit nervous.
Okay.
Now, I still think that they'll win the series. But those would be things that concern me. By the way, the reason why I said OJ, this is wild. So the spring of 1994 was when the OJ Simpson white Bronco chase happened. Rangers win the President's Trophy, number one seed in the East. They win the Cup. Knicks are the number two seed, make the NBA Finals. OJ, fast forward till this spring,
dies.
Rangers President's Trophy, one seed. Knicks two seed. That's pretty freaky.
Yeah, it is. That's like, you ever heard the old one about like Kennedy and Lincoln?
No.
Like, I bet you're right. Ray, have you ever heard that with like the crossover comparison?
The comparisons, like they were succeeded by presidents named Johnson,
Lincoln's secretary was Kennedy. I don't know, but like, it's like all these.
A lot of parallels.
A lot of bizarre parallels. Yeah. I mean, we can only hope without the Bronco chase interrupting the game that we can have similar results. Yeah, but you wouldn't be happy with that.
No, I wouldn't be happy with that. I'm just saying that's kind of
because 94, do you remember what the Rangers did to the Islanders in 94? They swept them. They crushed them.
I wasn't saying this piece of information for me.
It was the first round, Dave.
Yeah. This was not for me. This was for you.
That'd be nice for
that
me.
That was for you.
That would. Could you imagine?
Well, for us, because I got the Knicks. At least I have the Knicks in this part of it.
So, all right, right now, Rangers win the Cup. Knicks go to the NBA Finals. You take it? Oh, that's a good question.
No. No.
Really?
No. Unless you tell me that the Knicks win the NBA
I don't know what happened. Rangers win the Cup. Knicks beat Boston in game
in
seven.
In the NBA Finals?
They're in the Finals, and now it's open season. Anything can happen.
Yes.
You take it.
Yeah. How could I not?
I think you should.
I would have to.
I think you should.
They better win that series.
I can guarantee
you'll be
nothing.
Insufferable.
I guarantee nothing. I don't know what happens.
Well, yeah, right. Because if you're guaranteeing me they get there and they lose, I'm not taking the deal. It has to be they get there, you got your Stanley Cup, and then we'll see what happens with the Knicks.
I don't know. I'm giving you the NBA Finals, fine. And then it has to be played out.
I would take that.
You would take that.
I have to.
Okay. All right, how about this? Let me take it one step back. Knicks go to the Eastern Conference Finals, game six, up 3-2 at the Garden against Boston.
Or what? And the Rangers win the Cup?
Rangers win the Cup.
No.
You wouldn't take up 3-2 at the Garden?
No, because there's no guarantee I win the series.
There's no guarantee?
No.
But you'd like your chances?
At least you're guaranteeing me the NBA Finals, and I'll give you the Cup. You know, you're not giving me a 3-2 lead, and I'm going to give you the Cup.
That's not Cup worthy?
No.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, and his show Carlin versus Joe. Yesterday, he said Tom Thibodeau puts too much value on the regular season. I haven't heard the cut, but just the description annoys me. Here is Carlin discussing that.
In 12 years as a head coach, he's been to the conference finals once. And this is a big part of why. We have to play everybody 40-some minutes a game. Why is Jalen Brunson playing 41 minutes yesterday in a 120-119 overtime win? It makes absolutely no sense. And this is not about the favorable opponent. This is about the matchup. The Knicks don't match up great with the 76ers. And we can talk all we want about regular season games and all that stuff. Here's what I know. Joel Embiid, when he is on the floor, means that the Sixers are 31-8 this season.
All right, so I'm not going to deny the 31-8 because you can. He's factually accurate. But what I will take exception with is, why is he on the floor for 41 minutes? That game was when? Sunday, correct? Knicks play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They get 6 days off and there's no travel involved. So you can't try to win a game and want the two seed? I mean, isn't that what the commissioner is so desperate for? Is teams actually go after something for once? So Thibodeau goes after it, is desperate for it, winds up acquiring what you in theory think you'd want, and we're going to beat him up over it?
Well, I said to you earlier in the show, it's funny. I mean, the things that Tom Thibodeau gets criticized for is he plays his guys too many minutes, and now we're in a spot where he's won too many games because you don't like the matchup, because you would have preferred the three and play in Indiana.
Right.
So, by the way, and I'm glad I saved it, I have the counter, by the way, too. I mean, the Knicks aren't at a point where they've earned the right to take it easy in the regular season, knowing that they're good enough that when the time comes, they can flip a switch and make their way through the
right,
playoffs.
Right, wind up in the play-in.
They haven't done it yet.
You know what would happen if they did that? If wind up in the play-in, be the seven, you get two chances to get in, and then they'd crucify for that. It's like, if you look at Thibodeau and you think to yourself, he's not a very good coach or he pushes his guys too hard, it feels like you're not really paying attention.
All right, so by the way, so this is Tom Thibodeau's playoff career. In 2010-11, when he was the coach of...
The Bulls.
Mm-hmm. They lost. They were the one seed. They were 62-20. They lost in the conference finals 4-1 to the Miami Heat. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. 11-12. They were 50-16, one seed. They lost in the first round of the Sixers 4-2. That was the year that Derrick Rose tore his ACL.
Okay.
2012-13, they were the fifth seed. They lost in the second round to the Heat.
Well, which is what you expect as the five.
LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. 13-14, they were the four seed. They lost in the first round to the Wizards. The Bulls roster was Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler, DJ Augustine, Mike Dunleavy, Kirk Heinrich, Joakim Noah, Carlos Boozer, Tony Snell, and Nazir Muhammad.
Was that good, Joakim Noah?
In 13-14. 14-15, they lost in the second round to Cleveland. That's when Cleveland had LeBron James and Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
15-16, didn't coach. 16-17, Timberwolves, no playoffs. 17-18, they lost. They were the eighth seed. They lost the Rockets. That had James Harden and Chris Paul. Was that Rockets team. Then in 18-19, gets fired midseason. And then now with the Knicks, you had that first-round loss to the Hawks where they ended up being the four seed, which surprised everybody. And then last year where they lost in the second round, game six to...
Right, but won a playoff series. And now they're the two seed. So here's what I would ask for that. You say 12 years, one conference finals. How many of those do you look at and say they underachieved? How could they, like, do you look at that at all and say to yourself, how did that team not go to the conference finals? Or how did that team not go to the NBA finals? Do you have one of those in your examples?
No, I don't believe I do.
All right, so then what are we doing?
Well, it's a narrative that people have kind of latched onto and that they feel like this is the reason why Tom Thibodeau's teams don't have the kind of postseason success that they believe they should.
Because he pushes them too hard in the regular season.
Or is he pushing them to the point where he needs to get them so they actually can put themselves in a position to be a high seed that has a real chance?
I think he's trying to get everything out of his team so that they can have the best chance to succeed in the postseason. That's how I see it.
Right, but I also think there is something to be said about having a team that gets to a point where you know that they're good enough to win a championship. Goal is, let's make sure we get them there healthy.
If I'm Denver... And I know how good I am.
Right, if you're Denver, or if you're like even the Clippers now trying to manage Kawhi, because you know there's no chance you can win a championship if Kawhi's not healthy.
Right.
I can understand that. Well, yeah, you're right. Denver going back, even like, trying to go back-to-back. The amount of extra minutes they played last season, hey.
You're the two seed, you're the four seed.
But you even saw Denver towards the end, like, no.
We want the one.
We hang around, but we want the one.
That's right. And they beat Minnesota, should have had the one, and then fell apart and lost that game, and now they have the two.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Jalen, 10th in minutes played, by the way. 10th overall.
Well, but let's crush Tom Thibodeau. Crush him.
And when it comes to minutes per game, Jalen and Julius are 15-16. So what are we complaining
Derek
about?
Derek Fisher, Kurt Rambis, Mike D'Antoni, Larry Brown, Woodson was good for a minute, but like Mike Woodson, like the Knicks have had so many coaches that you look at, you're like, oh my God, how did I have to deal with that? Now they have a guy who's winning games, who has them locked in as the two, they win 50 games, and we're going to rake them over the coals? I mean, you people are unbelievable.
Kevin Durant plays more minutes per game. Luka Doncic plays more minutes per game.
Kevin Durant is, by the way, considerably older than Jalen Brunson.
Devin Booker plays more minutes per game.
Anthony Davis does.
Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum.
Are you horrified yet? I mean, come on.
LeBron James plays over 35 minutes a game.
Tell me LeBron plays more minutes than Jalen Brunson.
No, he's just under. He's 35-3, yeah. Brunson's 35-4.
So right there.
Right there.
And LeBron is 100 years old.
Kyrie plays 35.
Don't let Ric Flair hear you.
Let's stop it.
Jokic almost 35. He's just done. He's 34.
Yeah, 35 is about what star players play in this league. So you're playing three quarters of the game. Why is that so awful?
Well, I don't think it's awful.
What are we complaining about?
But it's, guys don't practice, too. That's the other thing. I promise you. Let me play me as many minutes as you want, and then tomorrow I can just rehab and we don't practice. Give me that. There's only 82 of these things. Like, that's the fun part. Give me the fun part. I don't want to do all the other stuff.
Right. These are the games. This is when you want to be the best version of you. Here's Tim Legler on Unsportsmanlike saying they're just not good enough to not care who they play.
It's just funny how much they put in to winning these games in overtime, last game of the year. Thank you, the two. And now we probably are going to play Philadelphia, which is not a good thing.
You don't love that mentality that they're not afraid of anybody and that they want to win?
They're not. Yeah, I hear you. But they're not on that level that you can just say, oh, we don't care who we play. The Knicks should care who they play.
So then what is he saying? They should have put up the scrubs in overtime then? Knowing that Cleveland lost, would that be better?
No, you'd like the benefit. I don't think he's wrong, though, either. First of all, it's not in their DNA. It's not who Tibbs is. It's not the culture that they created. But they're also, especially without Julius Randle and the time they had without OG, they can't afford not. Like, you saw what it looked like without Jalen on the court. They couldn't afford not to play their best guys that many minutes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. We'd end up in the play-in.
Right. And you talk about how the Knicks are going to get by this.
Let me tell you this. It's part of the reason why I can't stand the NBA sometimes. Because a team that should be applauded for trying to win every game of the regular season and taking all these games serious should be rewarded at the end of this by winning 50 games and being the 2 seed.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
And having an ideal matchup, which they're not getting.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but haven't we spent the last 2 to 3 years, maybe more, complaining about load management?
Yes.
And players not going all out? And here we have a team that spits in the face of all that, and we're complaining about that. I don't get it.
Well, I think it's hypocritical is what it is, because all the same people that complain that we have to do all these things,
same
like
exact
incentivize
people.
Guys.
Yeah. Same exact
right.
people.
The problem is that, unfortunately, in a situation like this, the Knicks should be applauded and should reap the rewards of finishing with 50 with the 2 seed
right.
and get an ideal matchup, but they're not because...
In theory, the 7-8 should be teams that are meh.
Well, like in theory, it should work out exactly like it worked out for the Rangers. That's how it should work out. Like, we need to win these last couple games. Listen, already locked in the playoffs, but we need to win these last couple games because if we do, we get to avoid Tampa and get the matchup that we would prefer.
Right. But Boston, who had a great season, is going to get Tampa for their troubles.
Which is why I don't like the whole setup anyway. I'm just saying, Joe, that's how it should work. The more we focus on winning, the better our matchup will be.
Right. But now, look at the Western Conference. Like, the 1 and 2 are going to have brutal matchups as well. I mean, it's just something broken with this system. It feels, 10, 20 teams with a chance to win a championship out of 30 is a lot.
What's to keep everyone invested in
okay.
trying to win during the regular season?
Okay. Well, now you got it. So now you can't complain about it.
No, you can't complain about it. To have a team that does things the right way be criticized for it now stinks.
It does stink because this is what they want. They want teams to go for it. Now you go for it, and now you get raked over the coals. It's kind of mind-boggling. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Knicks calls are completely lined up. We'll get to you guys. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Now picture this, if you will. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting all lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of unbelievably stressful situations, well, they happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
I don't think the story is written. To think they're going to move up.
RJ, I was right in the middle.
That's like what a child would do to a parent when they don't know their place. I'm going to tap out here.
You're Rick the Steamroller DPetro.
I've never experienced anything like that ever before.
What were you going to say?
I don't know now.
Something about trading up?
No, I don't care.
Good eye,
Here's what you want, though. Let me tell you what you want.
Let's not.
This
is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
RJ, it's time for you to do.
Raven, what does that emoji mean? Is that the guy? What is the icy?
Oh my God! And I'm steamroller face.
No.
And I
see you.
No.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It's the 9 o'clock hour. I mean, I don't think in the history of this medium of radio anybody's ever been more taken granted for.
I mean, that's not right.
It's unbelievable. No human should be treated like this.
No. Listen, it's something I need to work on, clearly.
Well, it's not just you, RJ. They're playing drops. It's just whenever I speak, nobody cares.
Maybe it's my fault, though.
Why?
Maybe I'm responsible for breeding this kind of atmosphere where people just feel like willy-nilly can just steamroll someone mid-sentence.
RJ, do you believe that the genesis of just, I'll talk because I have something to say and steamrolling the other person is because of Rick?
I think it does start there. I think there's trust issues. I think he doesn't trust at times you're going to, you know, give him the runway to get all his nuggets in. So sometimes he's...
We do 4 hours! Well, how many nuggets does he have?
A lot.
What is he, a chain of fast food? Yeah. I mean, McDonald's doesn't have as many nuggets as him.
What's the biggest one they have? Like a 30-piece? That's what Rick has. He brings every day.
You know what? We'll do 20 minutes where I don't say a word and you just start spouting off your nuggets. You got a nugget? Go ahead.
No, I don't have nuggets right now. I think the last time I really interrupted you was for, I was giving RJ a nugget. There was a CMT.
So is that what it is then? If someone has a nugget, to hell with what anybody else is in the midst of saying on the show, I just rifle right in there?
It's just an explosion.
Depends how good the nugget is.
So you can use that in your defense.
Yeah, I think it's like time and place, right? Where if the payoff is not worth it, it's like, wow, you just disrupted the whole show. But if it sends us off to another great topic, it's like, oh, well, that was pretty good.
That's my sneakers.
That's not your sneakers.
Is it now?
It is. Listen.
It sounds like the chair's moving.
Yeah. I'm moving the chair and my sneaker is pinned to the chair. Oh, okay. So it's making that noise.
Why is it making you laugh so much, though?
I don't. Because it was like, I'm not sure why. What are you saying, RJ?
I don't even know.
See, that's better. What? So that's better.
I think it's better to be uncertain what someone's saying than when someone's okay, you know what? I'm going to start to do, honestly.
Wrong.
Once a show, so help me God, he's going to be in the middle of some point, and I'm just going to go right in there and take it from him. You like that?
If the point is good. I mean, if you just send us off into nowhere, into orbit.
What's the difference? When he's in the midst of just some really salient, well-thought-out, great nugget of a point, I'll just take it and run with it.
So that's better. Let me get this straight.
Uh-huh.
Me fully engaged in a conversation, right, back and forth, where I occasionally, sometimes, will steamroll your face,
right,
is worse than RJ having a conversation while you're not paying attention.
My chair was making weird noises when my sneaker was rubbing up against it.
At 51 years old, noticing that your sneaker against the chair makes a funny noise, and then you completely don't listen to anything.
Right.
That's better.
I think it's better.
Right.
Yeah. What were you saying anyway, RJ?
I mean, how can I compete with that?
You could add that to the, maybe we use that Thursday, Santi, for the orchestra. Bassoons, you get going.
I don't know that there's a maybe here. I think that's definitely being used.
Dave's chair, you get going.
Hey, bassoon, you get going.
We could have a whole section.
He was giggling as he was doing that. Yeah. As you were trying to talk to him, he's looking at me giggling.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It's like, it was the funniest thing he's ever done.
It was so funny. You're done.
I could play this for the final 55 minutes of the show.
Is it really entertaining for you guys?
I really could.
All right.
It is known to flare up on a Tuesday.
Let's get to some of the calls.
Yeah.
What was that? I got choked up yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Are we ready to get back to the callers?
I think we're ready.
All right, let's go to Mike in the car. Good morning, Mike. You're next up on 98.7.
I'm still laughing over that drop noise. That's great.
There you have it, Mike.
So I got a mixed point. I do have a personal point going back to a call I made like 6 months ago about that guy with the wedding with his best friend, but I'll get there in a second. You hear all these Stephen A's and all that. Oh, you know, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread, blah, blah, blah. Look, we're a good team. All right, we're scrappy. But, you know, to me, the Knicks are like the 2010 Jets. I'm a big Jets fan. We could beat anyone, and we could lose to anyone. So this whole puffing the chest out, bring on Miami. We could take on Jimmy. Yeah, he turns it on, playoff Jimmy. That's his name for a reason. We get smoked in the first round. I know we're not playing them, but just saying.
Well, MB, we could. Like, Mike, we could. You don't know. I mean, they have to play tomorrow.
What am I saying? Right. We could. I'm sorry. It's not Philly locked in. You're right. So everyone puffing their chest like, bring on Jimmy. We got him. Like, I don't know where this comes from, but because we just took the Bulls to the to overtime that, you know, they're okay. But,
yeah, well, that doesn't matter.
You know, took us all the way to, what's that?
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, who cares about that?
Right. I'm just saying, my point being is that the Knicks, we could beat anyone and we could lose to anyone. I can see us making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, giving it up to Boston, or I could see us going down. So I'm just, you know, I'm happy with Tibbs. I love this whole load management that we're not doing it. I think, you know, F what everyone else says, you know, let's just, I love what he's doing. We're actually competitive. We were in misery for all that time. So, you know, put all that aside. About the wedding thing, I don't know if you remember, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, that guy called in, his best bud was getting married, and he was invited, but not like a groomsman or something like that.
All right.
I don't know if you remember, but we got cut off when we were talking. I had bad service. But I just give you a personal nugget of mine. It was a similar situation, not a best friend. I want to see, disappointed to you, Dave, I want to see if you agree. It was like an acquaintance, right? I was invited. And it was the day that the Jets were playing the Colts in the wild card round in the 2010 season, but in 2011. The soon-to-be wife said, I'm not playing any sort of games on. We were watching the game before anyway. So I turned around. I bought tickets to the game. It was like $100. And I went to the game and I said, sorry, I'm not going. Took matters into my own hands. And I want to see, Dave, do you approve of that?
Wait, so you didn't go to the wedding. You went to the game instead?
Oh, yeah.
I have no problem with that. And you said this is not even a good friend. This is kind of an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's wrong? I think that's what you should do. If there's someone that you're an acquaintance of and there's a huge game, yeah, I think, of course, that's what you do.
If it's just an acquaintance, yeah. I mean, my point to you always is like, as being you're a close friend to someone, sometimes you have to sacrifice.
Sometimes you have to sacrifice. I'm not great at that.
I think you're probably worse than that.
But I think what you don't realize is if I were to actually like miss the game, you wouldn't want to be anywhere around me anyway at that wedding.
I know, but I think we need to move past that though, because there are still ways for you to watch the game.
I don't like watching games like that.
I know
it's
don't,
not my comfort zone.
And your
zone.
Friend doesn't like that you're not at his wedding.
Okay, well then you know what? Don't get married on a football Sunday.
Well, it's a hit. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Well, if the heart, wife, the, only a moronic wife, heart would want to get married on
or
a
his
football
wife
Sunday.
Wants. Or it's cheaper.
Well, you know what? Think of others. Why are you so selfish?
Everyone's supposed to be thinking of them. It's the point of the wedding.
Okay. Well, then they can get married and I won't be there.
And you're a bad friend.
Okay.
As long as you're fine with that.
I'm fine being a bad friend and a great football fan. You know what? On my tombstone, I hope it says, Dave Rothenberg, 3/12/73 to, let's just for argument's sake, say 10/1/70.
You're going to drop dead mid-football season?
Yeah.
Well, like, what kind of friend,
all right,
kind
you
of
know what? Fine, fine. April 11th,
better.
71.
Better.
I make it through the football season.
Or second half of February would be nice. If we could plan it somewhere like just after the Super Bowl.
Right. But Super Bowl could be March at that point.
Well, who knows?
You don't know, right? And I wanted to say, you know, the birth, the death, father, husband, great football fan, bad friend.
Well, I'd have to say bad friend, good friend, better football fan.
There you go.
Yeah. Born here, breastfed here.
Yes.
Was a husband here.
The dates of birth.
Was a great husband
death,
here.
Was great husband, great father, great grandfather. I was born here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here. Great football fan. Friend.
Average friend.
But why average?
Well, why average?
You're great below football average. Fan. Friend.
Friend. Okay.
I feel good about that.
I'm all right with that.
Okay. Then that's what we do.
Especially if we're going like end of February. It would be nice.
I don't want to go at end of February. You think like I'm one of those people that hangs on like, wait until we see the kick.
Yes.
Through the uprights, like, okay, dad, pop.
Well, here's the thing, though.
You can go now.
Now, here's the thing, though. Would you be, I mean, I guess, so when you're dead.
Right.
And, you know, your spirit has left your body.
I'm not going to have the answers about when I'm dead.
Well, I know, of course. But spirit has left the body. Say you do drop in October. And now, for whatever reason, temple, whatever, is now we have the... How does it work? Like a viewing? What happens?
Well, it's usually closed.
Closed.
It's not at the temple. It's at the funeral home.
At the funeral home.
Yeah.
But that just so happens falls on a football Sunday. Would you be upset if no one showed up?
Yeah, I'd be upset.
Or would you respect the fact?
No, I wouldn't. My wishes would be I don't want my viewing on a football Sunday. Do it on the Monday.
All right, so you're going to have to. Well, now it's Monday Night Football.
I'll do it on Monday afternoon.
Well, okay.
No, right. we're not interrupting anyone's football Sunday.
But make sure that's in the...
RJ, you have nothing to worry about. You will not have to attend my funeral or a viewing or a shiva or anything on a football Sunday. You have nothing to worry about.
But in your mind, do you think that changes the way we look at you? Like if you were to pass,
yeah.
And let's just say there were a Sunday morning service.
Right. Well, Sunday morning service, as long as it's not like a European game, I think it's fine.
So, Colts-Jags kicking off from Berlin.
Mm-mm.
In whatever year you just said.
2071. Right.
And you think the right thing to do would be for us to go, you know what? This is what Dave would want for us to do.
No. I think what happens is Sherry looks at the schedule and says, there's a game, funeral Monday. We don't do the Sunday
funeral.
Well,
what if Sherry's new boyfriend thinks?
you think that quickly? So, I die on a Thursday... Funeral on a Sunday, and in that 48-hour span, she's now been taken.
Plot twist is George Clooney.
George, you know what? Imagine Clooney shows up to pay his respects. That'd be nice.
What if they're already married? You didn't even know it.
No, I'm married to her.
But she has a secret life.
I'm not okay with
that. She has George Clooney's kids. Hey, I'm going to work. Wink, wink.
I don't sign off on that.
To her second home.
I don't
George.
Sign. I don't sign off on that, though. I'm not comfortable.
I don't think it would matter.
Well, it matters to me.
Well, of course.
You know what? Then do whatever the hell you want. Really, if you've taken Clooney as a second husband, you have children with him on the side, then I don't want you involved in my wedding or funeral or whatever it happens to be. Just let me go. Quietly, middle of the night. Let me go like Jack Dawson. No, push me down to the depths of the Atlantic.
There is a zero chance you're going quietly.
What do you mean?
There is a zero. It's going to be a struggle. There's going to be screaming.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
I can feel it. You're going to act it out.
I don't feel well at all.
Possible haunting, you know, like.
I can see the light.
Mom!
It's going to be like in wrestling when you're in the sleeper and it's like the 1-2 in the head. All of a sudden.
Because that's a great fear.
And
God forbid they put me in the bag and it's like, wait, I'm still here.
He's still fighting.
It's me.
Oh, no, he's alive.
Wait, unzip him. I mean, I don't want to die.
He pops up in his LT jersey.
That's right. I'm back.
Or we don't even find out, like we go to the service and there's just like a note. Turns out Dave came back to life. He's home for Giants Commanders. Hope everyone is well.
One last game. The funeral you were going to attend, Dave's alive. See, this is why my wife is so great. We'll just put the game on at the funeral.
No, you told me that it would be in your wishes that there would be no funeral on game days.
That's right. Right, like a Wednesday afternoon.
It'd be tough at that point. Who knows what days the game is.
They might be playing every day. All day, every day. Be inundated with football. Maybe they preserve me. Like Ted Williams. They preserve me until we get to non-football
season.
They
freeze you?
Yeah.
I'm back.
They preserve me. Like, I go in February, they put me in some kind of a tank until we get to like April or May.
I think it's just your head.
Well, I don't want them to chop off my head. I think Walt Disney did that, didn't he?
Yeah, so did Ted Williams.
Yeah. So his head is still around?
I think so.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
What do they do? They bury the body and they just have the head? Is that what they do? Do they have to, like, a guillotine? They chop off the head? They must have to, they have to saw the head off. How do they get the head off? You laugh all you want.
They don't go back to ancient times. It's not, so how do you, how do you remove the head?
They probably put it in a guillotine.
We put that dead body in the guillotine.
That's right. They slice it right off like a tomato.
This is an executioner with like a leather.
Well, no. I mean, Raymond, how
a
do
saw.
You think?
A saw.
I don't know. Like, it's urban legends. I have no idea if it's true.
Probably a certain way you have to do it. Did I read a story about Ted Williams' head having like a tuna can?
there was rumors of like severe mishaps with Ted Williams.
What do you mean a tuna can?
I think there was like a tuna can frozen on it. I don't know how a tuna can
a tuna
got involved.
Can stuck to I it. Swear, I read tuna can.
That can't be true. RJ? RJ?
Yes, Dave.
Google Ted Williams head tuna can.
They'll carry out of here in handcuffs. Which one of you sickos was Googling Ted Williams tuna can?
Oh,
no.
It was him, you're
right.
No, I'm reading an NBC article.
I'm right.
And?
Williams' severed head was frozen and even used for batting practice by a technician trying to dislodge it from a tuna fish can.
they were bashing his head with a bat?
Yeah. I'm a voracious reader.
Oh, yeah. Right. High level stuff, too.
That you are.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.